What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is July 24th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. I apologize that I am late today. I know it's been a ridiculous time, but who cares? Because we have Gold C. Quinn. That is Quinn, Quinn Priester in Seattle was gold. As he went 7 innings, 200 runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, and 6 strikeouts with 16 whiffs and got the win. Oh my gosh, this is insane. Entering this game, over the last 13 starts for Quinn Priester, it was a 2.52 ERA and a 1.02 whip. Oh my gosh, that's since May 7th. And he only had 3 games above 200 runs, and one of them was a 3-run game. It's been pretty ridiculous. And in this one, it wasn't the perfection or really the absolute peak of Priester's ability. Against the Dodgers, it was that 10 strikeout game. And in that one, I saw amazing cutters away with sinkers lining the outside edge against right-handers and the slider being as good as it normally is. This one was a sinker with a 57% strike rate that was very much down the middle. The cutter that had a 50% strike rate, it was not at all the same pitch that it was before. And the slider that was generally very good still, but not overwhelming. And it was a lot of Koufax. It was a lot of Koufax being like, yo, all right, we're gonna let all these sinkers that are over the plate and hit into play find gloves. And that has been working. I'm happy for Quinn. I'm happy for this Vargas rule. Go ahead and start him all you want, and I get it. I do want to warn you, it is the Cubs, Cubs, Atlanta, Pirates, and then the Cubs again for his next 4 starts. And if I kind of feel like that's one good outing in 4. Atlanta is not really a team I want to face either with him, but the Cubs certainly not. And it's up to you if you want to just follow the rule. He did well against the Dodgers. Go ahead, but I don't really think this is an elite pitcher, anything close to what those ratios have been. Nicolò Dolo against the Nationals, complete game shutout, guys. 9 innings, 0 runs, 4 hits, 0 walks, and 8 Ks. And if you've been following the roundup in this podcast, well, you know that I've been a big Nicolò Dolo guy, and I'm just so happy to see that he's taken advantage of the extra opportunity he's had. Nicolò Dolo has not been this healthy in his career. He has not made this many consecutive starts before. And to see him come into rhythm with his changeup and his fastball and his curve is incredible. And this isn't even the peak, because his curveball is not striking out right-handers. He is not locating that down and in as a back foot breaking ball. And its put-away rate, which used to flirt with 30%, that is 90th percentile or so against right-handers with that curveball, is now underneath 20, dramatically so. And that's why those strikeouts are much lower than what we have seen before with Lodolo. We're happy with 8, but it is over 9 innings, right? That is a fewer, lower K per 9, but pretty good K percentage because only 4 hits, right? Long story short, 38% CSW King Cole for Nick Lodolo, and we are just going in strong with Lodolo moving forward. Sandy Alcantara, I just talked about Sandy Alcantara with Eno Saris on The Craft. We did a trade deadline SPs in review. And honestly, the crop of guys are not that great. Maybe Joe Ryan moves. It's really like Seth Lugo and Merrill Kelly and Eric Cabrera and Zach Gallen and Sandy Alcantara are the ones, right? There isn't that, oh my gosh, this is an absolute ace who's going to be dealt kind of deadline. And Alcantara could be one of the bigger names. I'm not convinced that this 7 innings, 0 runs, 4 hits, 4 walks, sorry, 0 walks and 4 Ks outing is it. The Padres are not looking good as an offense. This was him going 47 breaking balls. So pretty much half of his pitches were curveballs or sliders, which is not classic Sandy. Classic Sandy is actually emphasis on the opposite, fastballs, 4 seamers and sinkers with changeups. And that changeup was a 52% strike rate here. We did see some fastballs jam batters, but we only got 3 total outs, including 1 strikeout, on fastballs plus changeups against right-handers. That just isn't it for me. And I'm not convinced that Sandy Alcantara is fixed yet. If he does get dealt, I would hope that it's to an elite defense squad. Like even the Cardinals, go back to the St. Louis Alcantara, I'm so sorry, or the Cubs. The Cubs have an elite defense. I think they would benefit a lot from these volume focused guys, not your strikeout guys, so like Merrill Kelly and Sandy and even Zach Gallen, really. Tanner Gordon against the Cardinals, 6 innings, 0 runs, 4 hits, 3 walks, and 3 Ks. We're not going to go with him. This is a pitcher for the Rockies who did well in Coors against the Cardinals. That's nice. I do want to mention Sandy Alcantara will pitch in St. Louis the next time if he's not traded before then. And I think that's worthwhile-ish. He's going to be a questionable start there. That's at least a beneficial one. And after a good start like that, you just got to do it. But I don't really buy it. Justin Verlander. Oh my gosh. I was entering the start. And I said, look, I'm tempted to pick him up now. Why? Because it's at Atlanta. And I think that he's pitching better. And I'd be tempted to do this. Well, he walked the bases loaded in the first. And then he walked Matt Olson 2 more times. So Matt Olson was 0-for-0 against Verlander with 3 walks. And that was all 5 walks of the day for Verlander. However, otherwise, it was 5 innings of 0 runs and 1 hit and 3 Ks. That works. And now he gets Pittsburgh twice. Yeah, that's great. His four-seamer is around 95. Beautiful. His slider is hard. And it's getting down, which is great. And the four-seamer is generally up. This is exactly the Verlander we want to see. Except for the whole, like, fewer strikes than usual. That should be fine. You have Bailey Falter against the Tigers. He gets the gold star because he had 8 strikeouts in 7 innings. 1 run, 4 hits, 0 walks. And maybe he does get dealt now. Oh, my gosh. Wouldn't that be cool? His four-seamer was at 93+. He has 7.3 feet of extension, 18 inches of vert, a 1.2 high adjusted VAA. It's all what you want, save for the velocity, hopefully being higher at 95, 96 in the future at some point. I think the Bailey Falter should get dealt to some team. That's just how I feel. And I'm curious if that works out. But in the meantime, yeah, no, he didn't locate the four-seamer well in this one. He did have, some other elements like sliders decent away to left-handers and some curveballs generally down. But yeah, you're not going to buy into it unless he gets dealt. And even then, it's still a dark horse. Tyler Glasnow against the Twins. Look, he gets aces, going to ace. All right, he gets the tag. 19 whiffs for Gallo's pull. Okay, 12 strikeouts. It was amazing. Of course, he didn't get a win. Because Glasnow, for whatever reason, pitching for the Dodgers, he can't get a win. It's wild. Brandon Walter against the Arizona Diamondbacks. 7 innings, 1 run, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 5 strikeouts. That's pretty dang nice, isn't it? He actually located and had pitch separation as good as I've seen. And this is so cool against the Diamondbacks, too. 6-for-14 called strikes, and that's sweeper, by the way, to right-handers. Because his four-seamer was up, his cutter was inside to them, changeup was down, and the sweeper essentially entered the jaws created by those pitches. It was wonderful. And now he gets the Nationals, and then the Marlins, and then the Red Sox in Houston. That's what you want. Go pick up Brandon Walter. That should work out. Especially the Nationals. I mean, that's a left-handed lineup, too, so he should do really well with his sweeper on that. Chris Paddock against the Dodgers, big surprise here. This was close to a gold star too, because 6 innings, 1 run, 4 hits, 0 walks, and 8 strikeouts. My gosh. Thing is, though, he didn't really do much different. Four seamers and changeups were to lefties. They were generally up in the four seamer, generally down on the changeup, but mostly away, really. And a lot of those changeups were in the zone, near 60% zone rate on that changeup. But like, that is a shock to me that he did as well as he did against the Dodgers. And he's hosting the Red Sox next, which is a great situation. So I guess we're going with that. But it's all just so weird with Paddock. Whatever. Michael Soroka against the Reds. It was the Reds carpet. So of course he did well. 5.2 innings and 1 run, 2 hits, 3 walks, and 6 Ks. It was kind of weird to see him having 24% non-competitive rate. And if you remember, that's supposed to be like 10%. So 24% means 1/4 of all pitches that Soroka threw were just like non-competitive auto balls. And he still did well because it's the Reds carpet. Love to see it. He goes against Houston next in Houston. Again, he could be traded just like other guys. But if he goes into Houston, then that should be circled because Soroka's much better against right-handers. Obviously, it's a curveball that goes away from them and then a sinker and four-seamer that he jams. He's much better against right-handers than he is against left-handers. Unfortunately, plays for the Nationals, so it doesn't have to face massive left-handed teams as often as others. Just don't face the Guardians. And then he gets the Athletics away from Sacro Verde. And then he goes to San Francisco after. If he doesn't get dealt, this is a nice schedule for Soroka. Patrick Corbin, oh my gosh, against the Athletics. 5.2 innings of 1 earned run, 5 hits, 0 walks, and 7 Ks. Remember when we laughed when he signed with the Rangers? He gets a sub-4 ERA. Unbelievable. Really just unbelievable. Now, I do want to mention that he got a strikeout on one of the changeups. Only like 63. He doesn't really throw a changeup, does he? And he had six on the sinker. Oh, right. He was facing the Athletics, not in Sacramento, a.k.a. Sacra Verde. Oh, duh. So, yeah, don't read too much in this with Patrick Corbin. He gets the Angels next. Oh, my gosh. They feast on lefties like Corbin. You have Sean Manaea. I was at this game in Citi Field against the Angels, who on the other side of it was just a bullpen game. Oh, that's the thing I came to the stadium for. He got a win. Five innings of one earned run, two hits, two walks, five Ks. Everything's cool, right, Nick? No. He started the game hot. I mean, it was kind of funny. Like, Sean Manaea, 1-2-3, struck them all out. And then the first batter for the Mets is Brandon Nimmo hitting a home run. You could not ask for a better start to a game for the first four plate appearances for the home team, right? Maybe you can for the away team because that's a grand slam. Fine. But you understand my point. And here's the problem. Manaea was going 92 or so, 92, 93 in the first, and then it dipped and dipped and dipped to the point that he was averaging 90.3 on the full start. That means after the third, he was sitting 86. It was like 85.7 on one of them. 86 to 89. Okay, he topped out at 89.8 and in that time frame, and it's just, uh-oh. Don't be like that. It's a very worrisome trend down. You can see it. It's linked inside of the SP Roundup. I hope he's okay. The Mets very much need him. It's just Kodai Senga really holding it down. I mean, obviously David Peterson there too, but let's be honest. This is Kodai Senga. Clay Holmes needs rest and it's not even that dependable. I guarantee you the Mets are getting someone. They have to get someone. You need an impact starter, Mets. Now, you have J.P. Sears against the Rangers. Five innings, one run, three hits, zero walks, and seven strikeouts. This was the best game I've seen from J.P. Sears maybe ever because he was locating beautifully with a much wider arsenal. Change-ups were actually down, and this was all against right-handers against Texas, mostly. And then you have sweepers coming in the middle of the zone and then four-seamers jamming them and upstairs, and it was beautiful because he has a 1.5 height-adjusted VAA. And so he had 7 over 32 whiffs on that pitch. And that sweeper, because of it, 78% strike rate with a 52% CSW. My gosh. Oh, I really like what Sears is doing right now. And he will get the Mariners next. And I'm so curious. Even though it's in Sacramento, that might work out. All right, we have other guys to talk about. Brandon Pfaadt, he survived against the Astros. We got Slade Ciccone as the Slade Brigade is knocking on my door. And so many others to talk about from yesterday. A very odd start from Dylan Cease. We'll talk about all of that after this break. Seth Lugo got the win against the Cubs. Just don't bench him. Six innings, 200 runs. He might be on the move as he's a free agent at the end of the year. And the Royals are likely not going to be in the playoff hunt. So I'm very curious about that one. Where he does go, wherever he goes, you keep following with Seth Lugo. Slade Ciccone, six innings, 200 runs, five hits, two walks, two Ks. 55% strike rate, four-seamer. This is not going to last. You know this, but fine. Vargas rule it. Koufax is just cackling at me over my shoulder. Do what you want to do. I'm not going to do it. Brandon Pfaadt against the Astros. So I expected this to be a massive right-handed lineup, and it wasn't as much. He did face a lot more lefties than I thought. He only allowed one hit, though, on 35 pitches to lefties, and actually four hits against righties. And the sweeper was not as amazing as I thought it would be. He did locate it actually pretty well, but it just did not work out super well. But still a productive start. 5.1 innings, 200 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, and 5 Ks. We'll take that all day from Pfaadt. And I'm not saying that you should hold on to him or chase him because it is Detroit next, and I don't really want that for Pfaadt. But it is the Padres who are pretty weak offensively and rocky road up next. So I think that Pfaadt can certainly take advantage of Rocky Road, if not the Padres. Is it worth the hold with Detroit and starting there? I honestly don't think so. I think you can probably do better in the short term with a streamer, and yeah, it's just not really worthwhile. All right, you have Zach Eflin against Cleveland. Five innings, 200 runs, two hits, one walk, and five strikeouts. This is classic Eflin, really. Like, he utilizes his pitches as you want them to. And I feel like you should be safe with Eflin, except that it's the Jays and the Cubs next. And I don't want to go against those teams right now. So this was all against lefties, and the fact that he was able to maneuver around the zone with all five pitches against them, great. Just wait until it's after the Jays and the Cubs, okay? And maybe he's not on the team anymore. We'll see. Dylan Cease might not be a Padre anymore. I don't know. He is a free agent at the end of the year, but you got to think the Padres are going to try to be holding on to their wild card spot, right? Five innings, 200 runs, four hits, three walks, and five Ks in this one. oddly tame. This is weird. It's not an extreme in any way. It's just mid. The thing is, though, when you think about something that's in the middle, generally it means that it's pulling away from one of the other sides. So when I think about it with foul balls, for example, the more likely outcome, maybe it's whiffs, and when it gets foul balls, that means it's pulling away from that. Well, sometimes it's from hits, and it's no hits to foul balls, right? So for this redundancy, I actually don't think he pitched that well. And to see him have a decent line on a night where he didn't pitch well is a good thing, right? Instead of being the extreme bad, think about it that way. Chris Bassett against the Yankees got the win. 7.1 innings of 300 runs, 3 hits, 0 walks, and 8 strikeouts. I love to see that Bassett was there in the 8th inning underneath 100 pitches. That's awesome. He got away with a lot here. There are so many sinkers down the middle of the plate. I cannot express this enough. And not to mention, the curve and the cutter did not really have dominance in this. But he got 8 strikeouts, and all right, I guess it worked out. He has a decent win chance, of course. It is at Baltimore and the Royals next. He goes volume. He has volume for a winning ball club. I get rolling with Bassett right now. I don't love it long term, but I get it. Luis Castillo had a bit of a disappointing start. He got singled out by the Brewers. There was an error that made it to have 3 unearned runs as well. He labored more than usual. 5 innings of 300 runs, 10 hits. Oh my gosh. 0 walks and 7 strikeouts. And the thing is, they just attacked the heater. This was a situation where all 10 hits were off of fastballs. And his slider and his changeup were not big weapons. So because of that, it didn't work out for Luis Castillo, and we move on. I would be careful, though, actually, with Luis Castillo in Sacraver next. I feel like this is possibly the book on Castillo that is getting exposed. Just be ready for the fastball with him, and hopefully he can adapt if teams start doing that. Otherwise, it might be a very tough second half. Spencer Strider has just not looked the same. And this is the biggest worry that I had, was that on the night when the slider isn't amazing, the four-seamer won't be doing enough to still give a productive outing. This was 5 innings, 300 runs, 5 hits, 3 walks, 7 Ks. So at least you got 7 strikeouts with it. You got the loss, but the ratios aren't good. This was also the Giants. He should be better than that against the Giants. And he allowed 2 home runs in the 5th that really messed up a lot of, you know, pretty much destroyed the ERA here. But that four-seamer was thrown 63% of the time, because the slider went 4 for 26 whiffs. And that fastball was at 95-96, not 97 plus, with about an inch or two off the vert of it. So it's just not as effective. And he got, I think, 6 over 60 plus four-seamers, like 6 whiffs. Ah, sub 10% swing strike rate on it. I would sell high. Even though the schedule is good, I would still sell high. Max Fried got trounced by the Jays. 5.1 innings, 400 runs, 6 hits, 3 walks, and 3 Ks. There's 2 things here. 1, the defense isn't good for the Yankees right now. It's a big conversation, sure. 2, the Jays are so good in Toronto. And I really just want to emphasize this. Be careful starting your pitchers in Toronto. Otherwise, as Max Fried, you don't worry about this. Taj Bradley was demoted after this game, but 1.2 innings of 400 runs, 4 hits, 3 walks, and 0 strikeouts. How am I supposed to butter my bread with that? Against the White Sox, yeah. Joe Boyle is taking a spot moving forward, you would think. However, Yankees and Dodgers are next. And if the Rays go and get someone, you know how I'm going to say. I'm not going to say it. then Boyle would be the one who's out, but maybe then they slow down Boz a little bit or something. I don't know. After those 2 games, if Joe Boyle's still in it, then it would be at Seattle and San Francisco, and that would be the time, I think, to go after Joe Boyle. Colin Ray did not have a good stream against the Royals. 5 innings of 500 runs, 6 hits, 0 walks, and 3 Ks. Unfortunate. He gets at Milwaukee and then Reds carpet in the next 2 weeks, and then it's also the Cardinals in St. Louis and Pittsburgh, so those are fine for me. I still would hold on to that. I know it's Colin Ray. It's kind of meh, but these are all streams. So whatever. Andre Pallante against the Rockies in Coors did not do well, because duh. Jonathan Cannon didn't do well. 4.1 innings of 500 runs, 7 hits, 1 walk against the Rays, but he also had 9 strikeouts and 18 whiffs. What? He had 10 over 32 whiffs on his four-seamer, with 7 of his punchouts coming via the fastball. It's not a good fastball. He saved it. He threw sinkers and other pitches around the zone a lot. Excuse me. And then it was a fastball upstairs, and it got him. I'm really happy for him on that. It's not enough to sound the overture, because you need to do more. But still, that's pretty cool, Jonathan Cannon. I wonder if that's real in any way. It's not. Lucas Giolito did not do well against the Phillies. It was 2 straight starts of disappointment, 1 against the Cubs, which we were afraid of in the first place. And this one I was also afraid of with the Phillies. Both of these are elite offenses. Don't read into this, really, because this was expected as a Holly. All these are not guys that you just blindly start. They should generally be good, but these are tough. It also is a second tier tally, not like a Lugo tier. This is underneath that. And yeah, I didn't start him in my 12-teamer. So 4 innings, 5 earned runs, 6 hits, 1 walk in, 2 Ks here. He gets at Minnesota, he gets the Royals, then he gets at Padres, and then Miami Marlins next, right? Two of those, of course, are in Fenway, but I am going to roll him out for all 4 of those. Also, 7 over 15 whiffs on his slider to right-handers is pretty cool, but why only 17% usage to lefties on the changeup? Don't get that. That changeup should be feasting against lefties, and 17% usage is just not what it should be, Lucas Giolito. We have Troy Melton against the Pirates. He made his MLB debut. And the thing is, you shouldn't ignore this. 5 innings of 6 earned runs, 7 hits, 2 walks, and 7 Ks, 14 whiffs. 30% CSW, 90 pitches. He allowed a grand slam in the second inning and a solo shot to McCutcheon in the first. I think we see a lot of solo shots in the first because guys know when to sit on fastballs. But this fastball, 97, with 7.1 feet of extension and a 1.3 height adjusted VAA. He has a 5-pitch mix, including a splitter, which I love seeing like 8 of them at 7.3 feet of extension. Right? He got a strikeout on one of them. It was nice. And then he also has a slider that went 8 for 24 whiffs. This is a good pitcher. And I'm happy that the MLB debut is behind him now. I wonder if he's going to continue starting because this was really to cover for Scooble. But then again, like he should be starting over Montero. If he's sticking around, then it would be Arizona and then the Twins. I don't know if I really want to go after that. But you should just pay attention. You know, there is a chance that he does well against Arizona and then just does well. It is a good foundation of a fastball. And a supporting cast, he can throw for strikes. All of his pitches were above a 60% strike rate. Think about that. How often do you see a good fastball like that and that kind of control? You really don't often. And Jesus Luzardo against the Red Sox in Philadelphia, he was so close. This is the real thing about analysis that I got to hammer in. That Jesus Luzardo had the bases loaded with 2 outs in the 5th inning. So 1-1 pitch, and he threw a horrendous changeup. And that led to a grand slam in the 5th, and then he got the next out on a ground out, and that was the game. So the final line was 5 innings, 6 earned runs, 2 hits, 5 walks, and 7 strikeouts with 14 whiffs. But it could have easily been 5 innings, 2 earned runs, 1 hit, 5 walks, and 7 Ks. And that's great. That would be like, oh, yeah, we're all high five and fist pumping. Sure, 120 whip, but like 360 ERA, you got 7 Ks in there. It's totally fine. So understand how close this is, and like the line versus, you know, what could have been is always so weird, and like sometimes it's razor thin and sometimes it's just like, yeah, he should have been bad. So I will mention Luzardo's changeup was all over the place in this one. I mean, he just did not have a good feel for it at all, and I can't believe that he threw a 1-1 changeup in that situation, because what are you doing? The sweeper is way better. He's also very volatile, and I need to lower him a bit because, yeah, the lows are lower than they were before in the beginning of the season. He's better than a standard hipster because, yeah, the highs are higher than the other guys in those tiers, and it's just so close every time. It's really just home run focus, which is often noise. So, yeah, I think you got to still keep going with Luzardo, but I totally understand that you guys don't want him top 40. Like, I don't either. All right, that is it for this edition of the Plus Pitch Podcast. Thank you so much for hanging out with me. My name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.